Hello everyone, my name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the 19th Sunday of Ordinary Time. This weekend, we read Romans chapter 9, the first five verses of it, of Paul's letter to the Romans. And there's something tremendously powerful here. Paul says that he has great sorrow and constant anguish in his heart. That should cause us some pause, because this is the same man who says that he glories in beatings and rejection and being imprisoned, all for the name of Christ, right? All for preaching the gospel. That man, that happy warrior for the faith, that happy evangelizer, that joyful soul can have its heart broken. We should pause and ask, what can cause a man of that deep of faith to be heartbroken? Pay attention to what he says. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. Let me translate that into good English. St. Paul is saying that there is something that breaks his heart so deeply that he'd rather go to hell, that he'd rather be cut off from Christ than see it. And this is what causes him that kind of anguish. They are Israelites. There's the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. There's the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. He is saying that it breaks his heart to the point that he would rather trade his own salvation for his people to understand that the embarrassment of spiritual riches they have received is all pointing to a relationship with Christ, that he would rather have them know the Lord than be saved, that this is how much he desires that. That's a powerful kind of love. That's a powerful statement. Causes him that kind of anguish, that to see them miss the point, even though they've received all of it. The adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises, the patriarchs, and even the Christ. And yet they still miss it. Which begs a couple of questions for us. Because we, as Catholics, we too are inheritors of a tremendous, tremendous embarrassment of riches, spiritual riches. Ours are the mystics, the desert fathers, the traditions, the rituals. Ours are the saints and the martyrs. Ours are the great missionaries. Ours is the apostolic succession and the sacraments, the body and blood of Christ. Ours is a spiritual inheritance that cannot be numbered or valued because it's so precious. And yet we too miss the point. Don't we? How many of us miss the point? And this is the point. This is why I tell people, read, come to Mass prepared to engage with the Word of God. The Word of God has to be read in context. It cannot simply, if all you're doing is sitting down at Mass, listening to the reading, and you haven't come prepared, you haven't read it before, and you have not read it in context in your own Bible, then you're robbing yourself of a deeper conversation with God. Because this is the thing. The verse that we don't read, which is verse 6, we stop at verse 5, really tells us what's at stake. This is verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has failed, For not all who are of Israel are Israel. Oh. Let me put that into proper modern language and Catholic parlance. Not all who are of the church are the church. You can be surrounded by the trappings of Catholicism. You and I can be surrounded by the relics, by the beautiful churches, the music, the traditions, the devotions, the rituals, the crosses. We can have inherited the wisdom of the saints, the theology of Aquinas and of Augustine. We can be the inheritors of all of it. We can wrap ourselves in a veneer of Catholicism, of being of the church without being the church. Because in the end, all these things, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship and the promises, the patriarchs, and for us, the sacraments, the traditions, the devotions, the saints, the relics, the feast days, the churches, the music, all of it, they are in the service of a relationship. They're not meant to replace it. They're not meant to replace it. They are meant to point you to it. They're meant to enhance the relationship. They're passed on to enhance an existing relationship, to make it more real, to make it more deep, to make it to widen its hold in your life and in your heart and in your imagination. They are not meant to replace it. And many of us, what we do is we choose the lazy path. And what's that path? I will surround myself with the things of the church without actually being the church. I will surround myself with the images, with the devotions, with the rituals, but a personal relationship with Christ? That allows all that richness to be then the fuel for that relationship, essentially evidence of the relationship and fuel to deepen that relationship. If the relationship doesn't exist, those things don't matter. If the relationship does not exist, those things don't matter. And that's what Paul is saying. How the heck can they miss the point when they have this embarrassment of riches? And that's the question for us. How do we allow ourselves to miss the point? Do not miss the point. The relationship is the point. The sacraments are an expression of a relationship, of an existing relationship. They do not replace it. They enhance it. But you first have to be in it. You cannot be of it. You have to be it. And so, this is, and we understand this from basic daily life, kind of common human experience, basic wisdom. You can share DNA and blood and even a roof with someone, with a family, without being of that family. You can be of that family, but without being family, right? Well, then what makes us think that that's any different for the church? That's any different for the body of Christ? You can be of the body of Christ without being the body of Christ. You can be of the church without being the church. And we are called to be Christians. We're called to be Christians, and that requires a relationship, so that the embarrassment of riches we have received then is the fuel and the enhancement and the impulse for that relationship being deepened, widened, and expressed in a more powerful way. And so the challenge for us today is go around your home, go to your home, go to your house, look at what you wear, what you do, what you surround yourself with, what devotions you pray, what saints you remember, how you worship, and ask yourself, are these things giving me a sense of security that is allowing me to avoid or to neglect having the relationship they're meant to point me to. It's kind of like when a couple gets married and they think, well, I have the ring, we have the house and the kids. That's what the marriage is. So they stop working on each other. They stop working on the relationship, right? And so even though they have all the trappings of the family eventually breaks down. Because the couple, they're of that marriage, but they're not a marriage, right? The same thing happens with our relationship with God, with the Lord. For us as Catholics, we're particularly in danger of this, of falling into this temptation, because we have such huge embarrassment of riches from the apostolic succession to the saints, the Desert Fathers, the theology, the music, the history, the traditions, the devotions, the rituals. We have so much that can lure us into a false sense of security that the personal relationship with the Lord need not be worked with on, and I don't need to really grapple with him and wrestle with him and grow close to him because I have all these other things that say I am of him. But I can be of the church without being the church in the same way that Paul is saying there are Israelites who are of Israel but are not Israel. So my challenge to you is that look around you and say and ask this: am I surrounded with the trappings of my faith, or are those things an expression of a faith, of a relationship that's already being lived, that already exists? And not just in a kind of hazy way, but in a very real way. In a very real way, is it driving me to charity, to love, to forgiveness, to living out, practicing loving the Lord by loving my neighbor? If they are not, then allow me to say that they are merely superstition and not real faith. For you, they're meant to be an inheritance of spiritual wealth to enhance the relationship. Make sure that's the role they're playing in your life. Work on your relationship with Christ. Practice your faith. And you will see how all those things then become rocket fuel for the soul. They become rocket fuel for the relationship. They enhance then the existing relationship. The sacraments come alive. The daily practices of the faith come alive. The rituals come alive. The history comes alive. All of it becomes part of what helps you grow in faith and not what lures you into a false sense of security about your relationship with the Lord. Do that and you will see things change dramatically for the better. God bless.